Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you.
Live.
Yes, live at the Fantasy Sports Network Studios in Toronto to talk some sports. What else would we be talking about? Some great guests today. Andy McNamara joins us from TSN 1050, TSN 1150. He hosts a show on that station, Four Downs.
Yes.
And then we have Nick Whalen, who's going to join us, and we're doing some NBA DFS as well. So a little football, basketball mix for you on this lovely Wednesday.
Yeah,
Wednesday
it is Wednesday.
Afternoon.
It's like with a question mark there.
It's like gut check time. Like, is it Wednesday? All the days run together.
Yeah.
But there's some news today that we have to talk about. We're going to start with Carlos Hyde practicing, but still in a non-contact jersey, which is concerning. Although we do see players oftentimes limited early in the week, and they do end up playing
That AC joint sprained, not practicing, as you mentioned, with a contact jersey on. So that's certainly concerning. Ashley, we did say we're live here, so we don't know if he's going to practice today, but it doesn't look like he's going to practice today with the contact jersey on. And again, that is concerning. If he doesn't practice Friday, you could basically assume that he's not going to play. And you know what? It's unfortunate if you're a Hyde owner because, you know, over the first few weeks, this guy's got nothing but volume. And that's what we love in fantasy football. He had a great game earlier in the season against the Cardinals where he's able to find the end zone. And that's who he's playing this weekend if he's able to play. And now we have to really look at Dwayne Harris. I mean, that's what I was calling him all
Dwayne
weekend.
Harris?
It's just the way it was rolling off my tongue. Dwan was great. 10 for 59, 5 for 83. That's what he caught, 5 balls. He had a receiving touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He was fine. I mean, when Chip Kelly decided to go away from him with Davis, and Davis ended up fumbling. So it's just, I think Dwan will be the guy Chip Kelly likes, you know, when he does have a guy just to give
to
that
ride
guy
that
all
guy.
The volume. So,
yeah.
I mean, this guy's still widely available in leagues. I looked, checked before. It's like 23% in Yahoo, hovering around the same mark in ESPN and NFL, too. So if you're in a pinch and you need somebody to start, it looks like Dwan could be...
say Dwayne again.
Yeah, it could be a guy that you could plug in and he can get you some points because, right now, it doesn't look like Carlos Hyde is going to be able
you
to
talk about
that.
The volume. So Harris, 88% of offensive snaps against the Saints. That's up 30% from week 7.
Yeah.
So they're trusting him more and more and more. And then he had 83 yards receiving, 1 touchdown on 5 receptions.
Yep.
That would rank him in the top 15 in terms of wide receiver yards if you took out all the tight ends that had great weeks.
From Witten, week.
Jimmy Graham. Yeah. So last week he would be wide receiver 12.
Sure. Great.
Great. For
also,
running back,
like,
we'll take it.
Played the Saints, so we need to pump the brakes
just a little bit. Yeah.
This is a tougher matchup for him, but hey, volume is key.
Volume is key, and the Saints running backs have been getting a weird mix of volume.
Mark and Tim?
Mark and Tim, our buddy, friends of the show, Mark and Tim.
Mark Ingram likes the show as much as Pat gives him heat.
Yeah, because we're Mark Ingram apologists.
We are
Mark Ingram.
We are.
He performed very well, despite the fact that he got a little bit less action out of the backfield. He had a great bounce back game, but the thing is, they're playing Denver next, so that is concerning. Not just for Ingram, but for Hightower. And although Denver's only forced 7 fumbles, they've actually recovered 8, which is one of the top of the league. So they're like 21st.
So you're saying Mark Ingram is nervous heading into this football game?
I'm saying that
he
might need...
If he fumbles the ball, he may never touch the field again.
He might need some stick'em on his hands this week and just be ultra careful. I think there's definitely a timeshare in for both of them, but I do think that we've seen before Ingram is on a very, very short lease. Hightower out-touching Ingram 24-17 in week 9. So there's definitely a case to be made for Tim Hightower in this offense going forward.
A couple weeks ago, it was Hightower earned more snaps because Ingram fumbled, and I want to hear that Ingram earned more snaps because he looked great in that football game and didn't fumble, but this is what it's come down to. And Sean Payton, I mean, I have these guys both ranked outside my top 20. It's a tough matchup. I know Latavius Murray was able to have a good game, but he's just the focal point on the ground in Oakland, and where these guys are both going to get, they're both going to touch the ball. And I'm a little concerned that, you know, if Ingram fumbles or if he looks at Payton the wrong way on the sidelines, he might not touch the field. So I have Hightower slightly above Ingram, but they're not great starts. Last week, you could have played both of them. You can't play both of them this week. I do think Ingram's the better back, but it is what it is, and it's looking like Hightower is going to be the guy there.
You have this Peyton-Ingram conspiracy theory going on.
There's something going on there, and I think we'll find out later on in the year that he just really,
Something happened.
Something happened.
I think something went down at a team dinner.
With his cornflakes. something happened, and I don't like it at all. I want Ingram to get on the football field and make things happen.
Do you like what's happening with Spencer Ware?
He's going to get on the football field and make things happen. No, Chuck Kendrick Weston, he wasn't even all that great.
No,
in
he kind of choked
game.
In
he
his opportunity.
That good. So Spencer Ware, Andy Reid says it's looking like Ware will play in this game. It's not a great matchup. Carolina only allowing 3.3 yards per carry on the ground. That's the tops. That's tops in football. Talking with Jake Seeley and Pat Mayo yesterday on the Pat Mayo Hour, both of these guys like Ware as a top 10 back this week in PPR formats. I have him slightly just outside my top 10 because of that matchup, because he's missed some time, and you never know. If this guy does take a shot, I mean, he could leave that game. I mean, if you have him, you're starting him. And I have him, and I'm going to play him. But I don't expect a terrific performance from him. I think he's going to be able to catch a few balls. But again, that it's a hard defense to run on Carolina. So I think maybe even West will be sprinkled in. You don't want to play him, but he's going to be involved.
And anything with shoulders, I always feel like one false move, and
that's
it's just
like
going to be hanging.
Carlos
that's what
Hyde
Dr. A was saying when we had him on.
Ooh. Oh, no. Hanging shoulders?
No, you don't. Have you ever dislocated your shoulder?
Absolutely.
How much does it hurt?
Very much.
A lot?
Yeah, a lot.
Does it hurt more when they pop it back in, though?
Yeah, that's the part that hurts. They're just like, hey, 3, 2, pop. It's like, oh.
You when they don't, you know what really makes me mad? I was about to swear because I'm so upset about it. When any doctor is like, 3, 2, but they do it on like the 2 or the 1, not the 3,
not
when
the
they
3.
Promise they would. There has to be a trust factor there, okay, everyone in the medical field?
But they don't want you to like flinch, right? They don't want you to like on 3 or you tighten up.
I don't like to be blindsided. I like to know exactly what's coming. Anyway, the Dallas Cowboys know that they have the best backup in the NFL as Tony Romo has been cleared to return to football from his back injury that he sustained very, very early on in the season. Dak Prescott will be starting this week, and he's definitely earned it. The Dallas Cowboys are 7-1, and after Dak Prescott got a little bit more comfortable in the offense, the passing touchdowns started to come. He had 4 passing touchdowns in the first 5 weeks and then 8 in the last 3 games. Plus, he's a factor on the ground. Defenses have to be aware of that. Dak Prescott is, for me, going to be the starter for the rest of the season, barring any injury or major, major meltdown, but he has a huge leash to me.
Yeah, he does, and you're right. He deserves it. I mean, 7 wins, that's the most in football. I mean, Tony Romo, a lot of people are like hanging on to Tony Romo. I mean, if you had him on your IR, sure. I don't know. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there that you could just play. I mean, the biggest thing for me, and if you're a Dez owner, you want Tony Romo to return because they have a connection, and Dak's just really not going his way. Hardly did anything against Cleveland. Was able to get 14 targets against the Eagles the week before, but only caught 4 of them, had 1 touchdown. So I think it's Dak, too. And I think, you know, Jerry Jones needs to stop answering these questions and just come out. And it's got to be a distraction.
About Jerry.
It has to be a distraction. I mean, they just have to say, listen, Dak is the guy.
It's not a distraction. You think it's a distraction? I think when Jerry
Jones got Dez on the sidelines in practice saying, oh, Romo looks good. He's just zipping him in there. He looks real good. That's got to be a distraction.
It's not a distraction. What's he going to say? He looks terrible?
Don't say anything.
You have to say something. People are asking you about it. You're just going to pull a Marshawn Lynch and just be like, next question.
It's nonstop. Dak has to be playing so he doesn't look like he's playing scared, but he has to. I mean, he's going to go into Pittsburgh
there
and try to compete with Big Ben this
week.
And if he probably feels like if I have one bad quarter and I blow this game against the Steelers in the fourth, I throw a couple picks, it's Romo. I don't know. I just feel like Jerry Jones needs to just say, listen, it's Dak and we're rolling.
Guaranteed. Probably most likely, Dak is not scared heading into this week, allegedly.
I guess.
I don't think so.
You're probably right. He's not scared, but I guarantee you it's in the back of his mind that Romo is breathing down his neck and Desi wants Romo there.
Well, the last 4 seasons, when Tony Romo did play at least 15 games, it's been a while since we've seen that. He's had over 30 touchdowns in 3 of those 4 seasons.
Who do you think gives them a better chance to win the Super Bowl? Because they seem like contenders. Dak,
I want to say Dak, but I don't want to. Tony Romo's good, though. I feel like he gets a really bad reputation.
Yeah, like, because he throws picks and
everyone throws picks. Dak's thrown 2 picks this season, as a matter of fact.
He's also very fragile, and that's concerning.
He is fragile.
I don't think that he can last, to be honest with you.
All right, well, we might not get the chance to see. But what we're going to get the chance to do is talk to Andy McNamara coming up next on FSD. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As you see, we have a third member on the desk, which we love so much. This is Andy McNamara, host at TSN 1050, TSN 1150 of the Four Downs podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantasy
football,
o'clock.
Yes.
11 o'clock on Saturday mornings, fantasy football.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you also write an article, which was published today on TSN.ca. And in that article, you're really looking at just guys who are trending up, trending down, some Hail Mary plays, looking at guys who are owned in fewer than 50%. So
exactly.
Who's the big guy that you're looking at this weekend?
I'm going Capri Bibbs this week.
And what a name he has.
I know. You got Bibbs, right? It's great. And I, because one of the big things with fantasy football to me is, all right, everybody knows the stars, right?
Sure.
You're going to pick the big, but when you get into week 10,
yeah,
7, 8, who are you going to pick up? Who are you picking up off the waiver wire? So Capri Bibbs does it for me simply because the running back position is such a graveyard. It's a wasteland.
Yeah,
who are you picking? Who are you getting?
Bibbs.
And, right? And you look at Bibbs' numbers there. Now, the only reason I really went with him, he was owned and I think it was available in 93% of ESPN and TSN leagues, is because Coach Gary Kubiak said, I like what he did last week. That's good enough for me, right? Devontae Booker had an opportunity. Put out a dud. He went for 69 yards, Bibbs did, and he's going to get a chance with the workload. CJ Anderson's out. He's as good a choice as any.
And don't let the matchup fool you. I was just going to say, the Saints don't give up a lot on the ground, under 100 yards rushing per game, but in their last three contests, 235 receiving yards over the last month to running back specifically. And Bibbs, what did he do? He had the pass-catching touchdown, 69 yards out of the backfield. So it seems like a perfect matchup.
And a great move, too. Last week, we were talking about how you can get away with playing Mark and Tim against
San Fran.
Mm-hmm. This seems like a really good matchup, too, where, I mean, if you own Booker, I mean, if you own them both, you don't want to play them. But I feel like both of these guys could be played. I mean, Bibbs in a flex spot, I mean, if you're hurting, you said it's week 10.
Sure.
A lot of these guys are injured or dinged up.
Yeah, and actually, to your point, it's not just on the ground. That's where Bibbs has the real value in the pass catch out of the backfield. So
what do you think about Booker? Sorry, Chris.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
35 touches in the last 2 weeks, 2.5 yards on average during those touches, whether it's a pass catching or whether it's a rush. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that he was such a disappointment? Because a couple weeks ago, he was the one on the waiver wire, just like everyone was talking about Terrence West a little while ago. Mm-hmm. He was that guy that you had to pick up, and he's really disappointed.
We've seen all season at the running back position just the fool's gold.
Yeah.
Right? You get the 1 week of, he put up 20 points, 20 fantasy points. Let's go get him. So that's why I always like to try to wait a little bit, see if you get any sort of consistency while at the same point not waiting too long, because then he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
So Booker, he was the sexy pick last week. He didn't deliver. Coach Kubiak said, going to go with Bibbs. So I'm going to go with Bibbs.
Yeah, and Bibbs feeling pretty confident telling Collinsworth that he feels like he's one of the best backs in the league.
That is gutsy. Although he did have 61 touchdowns in his last 2 years of high school.
Yeah.
So if I had 61 touchdowns in high school, I'd pretty much feel like I'm the best ever as well.
Exactly. He feels pretty confident for sure. Okay, let's touch on another guy in your article, just somebody whose stock you've seen rise over the past couple weeks.
I love Lance Kendricks.
Okay.
Love Lance Kendricks out of the Los Angeles Rams. Mm-hmm. And where running backs is probably the most frustrating and nightmarish position, tight ends, after Gronk, who do you take? Okay, you got Jordan Reed. Gary Barnage was a big name coming out of the preseason.
Yeah, kind of been quietly.
Done Jimmy nothing. Come out of nowhere.
Jimmy Graham, so slow now, but you don't have that reliable guy. So again, I go to the point where you don't want to overreact and have a player with one good week and snatch him up. Kendricks has done it three consecutive weeks. He only has one touchdown, but you have to remember, he's putting up double-digit fantasy points in PPR formats with Case Keenum at quarterback. You're putting up numbers with Case Keenum. Okay, sign me up for Lance Kendricks. And he's not that ideal big-bodied guy. He's not 6'7", 6'3", but he's 250, so he's burly. He's going to be left out there, too, to block. So you know he's going to be out there for three downs, and he's going to have an opportunity. He's been getting 12 targets last week, 9 and 8 the two previous ones. So he's going to get touches.
Yeah, and as bad as Case is, he seems sometimes inexperienced quarterbacks, and we've talked about this a lot, Ashley, just kind of lean on the tight end.
Yes.
There's nobody else in that offense. I mean, even Gurley not doing a whole lot, and no other receivers who are getting a lot of play, at least the targets. Lance Kendricks seems to be
safety
getting
net,
those targets.
Right? Yeah. Safety net. Who's going to be that check down guy? Who's going to be that comfort level for Case Keenum? It's Kendricks.
And we were talking about tight ends a lot, actually, in the last little while, and how it's a safe position to stream because, as you mentioned, there's like the Greg Olsons, the Jason Wittens, the Gronks, and then everybody else. So when you've run into the last 2 weeks where there's been six teams on bye, this week there's four teams on bye, it's a safe streaming option. Quarterbacks are someone that technically it's been pretty safe to stream once in a while, but who are you down on? I'm hearing Blake Bortles is someone that we had high hopes for, and he's really underperformed so far this season.
35 touchdowns a year ago, right? Nothing. This year. Now, he's the king of garbage time. So you'll look at his stats and be like, well, it's not that bad.
You see, he's like quarterback 11, basically, but all of that stuff comes in the fourth quarter.
It's garbage, which, if you're a fantasy owner, who cares? You don't care when it comes from. You want the points. But The problem with Blake Bortles, especially this week, he's up against the Houston Texans, and they've given up the second fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks this year. So Bortles isn't going to have the luxury to get the garbage time that he's had before. So he's way down. He tucks and runs. Now something is wrong with him.
I was just going to say, that's what I want to know the problem. So you talked about the touchdowns. Sure, he has 14 so far this season. He's on pace for 28. He had 35 last year. But his yards per game is down less than 10, and his completion percentage is actually up. So what, like, this doesn't seem to equate. Do you know what I mean? What do you think the problem is?
Yeah, and it's something in the early part of the game. And if you look at Blake Bortles' stats through the first half compared to the fourth quarter when the Jaguars are out of it, horrible. Yeah. Just terrible. But then defenses ease up a little bit, he's able to dink and dunk, do his thing, and get the stats up. So again, from a fantasy perspective, that's great. But now we have to look at the weekly matchups, who are really stout against quarterbacks. And this week, it's the Texans. Bortles, later on in the year, I think will probably pop up here and there.
Sure.
Yeah. But when you just rely on garbage time, that's
a
risk.
Tough.
That's tough.
And you know what? Looking at the schedule, he has the toughest schedule, you know, for fantasy purposes. Like, these defenses that he's going up against, as you mentioned, not just this weekend, the Texans, they don't give up a lot to quarterbacks. So, and with trade deadline looming, is Allen Robinson somebody that you just flip him, or are you trusting him at all? I mean, the targets seem to be there, but the throws are just so off.
Yeah, you had the Allens as, it was the Allens and Bortles. As the trade, like, oh, this is great. And then the backfield, Yeldon and Ivory, well, someone's going to produce there. Yeah. It's just been a disaster the whole way. If you can get something for Rums, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if you will.
Yeah.
But maybe you can, you know, do a little talking at the side of your league. Hey, he's due. Don't worry. You know, but you're going to have to trick here.
You're going to have to play in one of those bad leagues. Yeah. I can't believe that we haven't been calling them ABBA. I just thought of that. Like the Allens and Blake.
That's great.
AB, like, you know, little dancing queen. We really missed an opportunity. I feel like.
And Bortles runs. I love it. I love it.
That's one thing that he's lacking too, is those rushing touchdowns. And we thought that was
so
going to happen.
But
and then Ivory comes in and he can't do anything. So just a mess in Jacksonville.
It's crazy because they've been relying on the passing game so much more lately. Yeah. 45, 54, 41 pass attempts in his last three games. And still nothing.
Yeah.
This guy. All right, Andy, we got to get out of here.
Thank you.
You can find Andy McNamara, TSN 1050, TSN 1150, 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings.
Andy,
we'll talk to you again.
MC81 on Twitter.
Yep.
Give him a follow. Check out the show on Saturdays.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll talk to you later. We'll be back.
DFS basketball. Stay tuned.
This is Fantasy Sports Today, and it's NBA DFS time. We're inviting in Nick Whalen now from RotoWire because he's got the goods. How's
11
it going,
games.
Nick?
11 games tonight. Yeah, like, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, no problem, man. Where do you start? I mean, you look at the top here on DraftKings, Russell Westbrook 11-9, Harden 11-5. Then you get in under 10, you got Durant, Lillard, Leonard, and then on FanDuel, it's the same thing. I mean, you're going to have to pay up if you want Westbrook or Harden, 11-5 for Westbrook and 11-1 for James Harden. Are you picking one of these two? Is that how you're going to start your lineups here tonight?
You know, I think you almost have to at this point with the way that both of them have been playing this season. These 11-game slates are a lot of fun because you have so many options, but it can kind of work opposite that way too, where you almost are flooded with too many and, you know, you're worried that the guy that you end up leaving out is the one who ends up going off. But typically, you know, I think when both these guys are playing, you have to have at least one because they're the most sure things on the slate. And it's really a horse apiece as far as who's going to have the bigger night. You know, Westbrook, probably the better rebounder despite being the smaller player. But the assist numbers that James Harden has put up this season, at least 15 assists in three of his last four games. He got to 13 assists in the other of those four. So, I mean, numbers that we really haven't seen from him before. I think everyone knew he was a good passer, but we haven't really seen him operate as a point guard, and especially in a Mike D'Antoni offense. I mean, we're only, what, 7-8 games into the season. He's already saying this is the most fun that he's had, you know, as an NBA player. So the D'Antoni experiment, it's going to take us a couple months, you know, to see exactly how that works out in Houston. But if you're talking strictly fantasy, it's been a godsend for, you know, Harden owners in season long, and especially in DFS as well.
Yeah, he's
very surprising, but very impressive stuff.
He's been averaging almost a triple-double, and it's almost like he takes his assignment so literally. So the last few years, he's been a shooting guard. All I'm going to do is shoot. All I'm going to do is get to the foul line. I'm going to shoot foul shots. And now he's like, oh, I'm a point guard? Well, then I'm going to create. And I'm going to do it as best as I can because I feel like he's one of those players that has a chip on his shoulder. My question to you, though, Nick, is when you're thinking of Russ tonight, when you're playing the Toronto Raptors, Jonas Valanciunas, he's traveling with the team, but he's day-to-day, he's questionable. I feel like, though, in a situation like this, when you have the rookie and Jakob Poeltl, and then you have Lucas Nogueira, who's unproven, they're going to be in the post. I feel like it's more of like an Enes Kanter kind of night.
Yeah, it certainly could be. I mean, I was kind of hoping that, you know, with Serge Ibaka out of the picture this season and some of the other moves that the Oklahoma City Thunder made, you know, getting rid of Ersan last week, that would mean, all right, finally we're going to see Kanter play, you know, 25, 30 minutes a night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thus far that hasn't really been the case. It's been a lot like last season where he's hovered around, you know, 15 to 20 on most nights. He's still such a liability defensively that it's hard to keep him out there in long stretches. But I think as the season goes on, they're going to have to go more to Enes Kanter because, you know, at some point I think Russ is going to slow down. You know, you can't go 140 miles an hour over the course of 82 games. And Kanter might be the second best, you know, pure offensive player on this team. He's one of, you know, a few remaining, you know, really, really good back to the basket, low post mm-hmm. scorers. He's a volume rebounder. And I mean, he's had two straight 2010 games despite playing only 20 and 21 minutes. So he's a guy that you can still use in DFS and not worry too much about the minutes. But, you know, it's tantalizing to think of the numbers he could put up if he started playing close to 30 minutes per game.
Yeah, if Steven Adams would just
yeah, he has no problem. Get out of there. He has no problem right. chirping KD on the bench, but he's only playing
problem at all. But then again, he only plays 3 minutes in that
game.
Yeah,
I know.
Ash touched on the Raptors. DeMar DeRozan's numbers, really good to start the season. He's jumping up in prices on FanDuel and DraftKings. You know, ever since the Olympics, he seems to be just playing like an all-time high in terms of confidence. Is this somebody you're willing to pay up for tonight?
Right now I am, yeah. I mean, I was a little bit skeptical through those first couple games of the season. You know, he came out so hot on opening night and followed up with a 40-point game shortly after that. I like DeRozan for now. I mean, long-term, he has to cool off, I think. I mean, this is a guy who maybe more so than any, you know, all-star caliber player relies on his jump shot. You know, 7.2 made pull-up two-point jumpers per game is what he's averaging right now. It's a little bit of a mouthful, but you can't sustain that. I mean, 7 pull-up made jumpers a game is absolutely ridiculous. He's shooting 56% on those type of shots. He's shooting 58% on what NBA.com/stats defines as tightly guarded situations. Mm-hmm. And he's shooting 50% in very tightly guarded situations. So
hot
everything
fire.
Is really broken right for DeMar DeRozan thus far. And credit to him for the numbers he's put up. But the other thing with DeRozan is he doesn't really give you much outside of scoring. So if he has an off night, if he's locked down with a good defender, he's not going to give you too many assists. He doesn't rebound the ball very well, despite being a big shooting guard and one of the better athletes at the position. So he does have a little bit of kind of feast or famine you know, issue with him.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the mid-range game is back, my friends.
Yes,
all those who
is.
Are like, it has to be a three-point shot or it has to be a dunk. DeRozan is reviving the mid-range game, which we love. Another interesting game on the slate tonight, you got the Warriors taking on the Mavs, and you'd think in your head, okay, let me go Golden State, but because they have so many scorers, they have so many options of guys that can go off at any point in time. So is there any situation that you're targeting the Mavs? Which players do you like in this instance?
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a discount player, maybe to pair with a Harden or a Westbrook, you can look at JJ Barea. His price is up a little bit as over where it was last week. He's at 5,700, but no Darren Williams in this game. He didn't even travel with the Mavericks on this road trip, so they're a little banged up. Barea's played really well in Williams' absence. Back-to-back 34 fantasy point games. He's averaging 6.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists over the last two games. I mean, for a 5'10", 5'11 guy, that's outstanding. And he's playing big minutes, too, because they really don't have any other options. It's kind of him and Seth Curry, who's not really a natural point guard. And then Harrison Barnes as well.
Yeah.
He's still down at 5,700, 3 30-point games already on the season. I watched him play against Milwaukee on Sunday night, and it did not look like the Harrison Barnes that we saw with the Golden State Warriors. And of course, it's a completely different basketball situation, but I think there were a lot of questions as to whether Harrison Barnes could be a number one or a number two option. And he's kind of had to be their number one option right now with Dirk Nowitzki out. So, you know, we'll see. There's going to be a lot of emotions with him going up against his former team. But the way Harrison Barnes is playing right now, he's well worth it at 5,700.
The revenge game. All right,
yes.
Nick, we got to get out of here, but definitely come back on again soon if you'll join us again.
Of course, if you'll have me back.
All right, awesome. All right. Good to talk to you.
Take care, man. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I like that, though, because the Warriors, although they're really great, their defense not good. 25th in the NBA.
And a Bogut revenge game.
All right.
Oh, baby.
Whatever
See
that means. Bye.